You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. Now, I've been doing stories for public radio for a long time. And for the most part, there isn't that much difference between doing a story for public radio or for our podcast. Except for one thing. On the podcast, we can sell you, our listeners. Sponsors want your attention. You've given it to us. Thank you. And we rent it to them. We assume you don't mind because it's part of what keeps this podcast and so many podcasts free. I'm a public radio lifer. I'm used to radio being commercial-free. That's the P in NPR. Radio Diaries is public, too. We're a nonprofit organization. So for the last few years on this podcast, we've been in new territory. And if you listen to a lot of public radio-style podcasts, you know that many of us are trying to figure things out. It's not just the ads. We're figuring out our rules, our ethics, our reason for doing things, our mission. It's still an experiment. 4 decades ago, NPR was an experiment, too. They were trying to figure it out. And this is what they came up with.
From National Public Radio in Washington, I'm Robert Conley with All Things Considered.
This is the very first broadcast of All Things Considered, from May 3rd, 1971.
In the top of the day's news, the crush, catcalls, flux and flow of the demonstrations in Washington against the war in Southeast Asia.
The reassuring tones of that now familiar public radio voice, it's timeless. The music, not so much. But one thing NPR had going for it back then was a mission. In fact, it had one of the best mission statements I've ever read. It was written by a guy named Bill Siemering. The manifesto Bill wrote is no longer NPR's official corporate mission statement. But for me, it continues to be a reminder of why we do this work. So today in the podcast, we're taking a break from our usual documentaries. For those of you who aren't so interested in the history of public radio, this may feel like inside baseball. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new story. Here at Radio Diaries, we like history, including our own. So with help from the good folks at Transom.org, I brought Bill into a studio because I was curious how he came to write that original mission statement and why. Here's Bill.
So when I was assigned to write the mission statement, I wanted it to be a celebration of what radio could do. And most importantly, perhaps, is where will public radio fit in to the media landscape?
And just set it up for me a little bit, like this was when and what were you?
I mean, are we taping now?
Yeah, we're recording now.
Oh, okay. So, just a voice check.
What? That was a very useful voice check. Even your voice checks have content. Usually it's just breakfast. You know, the miracle of this, Bill, is that we can actually edit it.
Yes, I know. And you can use it for an obit or something. So I thought that's why we were collecting this. Oh, Bill's 80 now. Maybe I should. I can pitch this to NPR.
A morbid agenda.
So
let's start by just identifying yourself.
Yeah, I'm Bill Siemering. I was elected to the founding board of directors of NPR, and then asked to write the mission statement. And with that task, I was trying to accomplish several things. I wanted to differentiate NPR, public radio, from commercial radio, from educational radio that we were growing out of, and from public television that was already on the air. And I also wanted to capitalize on the strengths of radio as a medium. There was a statement about radio. At that time, it was still ignored or undervalued. And also, I was very, very cognizant of, most importantly, what was going on in the culture. What were the issues that the other media weren't dealing with?
And what was the media landscape at that time?
There was the voice of authority from New York, male voice, reading the news, hardly ever any actualities, fairly short news, not really hearing from people they were talking about. They weren't talking with protesters to the Vietnam War. There weren't women on the air. I don't think there were hardly any people of color on air. So I believe that if you have the diversity of the country reflected on air, you'll have a diverse audience. If people hear their own voice, their own perspective being acknowledged, they will pay attention.
So you were asked to write the mission statement for NPR, and this is in 19...
It was beginning 1969, so I was just writing this, you know, longhand on sitting at the dining room table.
Well, let me get you to just read the mission statement.
All right. This isn't the whole document. This is just kind of the first part of it.
Joe here with a small interjection. We had a discussion in the office about whether we should have music playing under Bill as he reads the NPR mission statement, like maybe fife and drum.
National Public Radio will serve the individual.
Or trumpets.
National Public Radio will serve the individual.
We spent about an hour trying to find the right music, and after all that, we're going dry.
National Public Radio will serve the individual. It will promote personal growth. It will regard the individual differences with respect and joy, rather than derision and hate. It will celebrate the human experience as infinitely varied, rather than vacuous and banal. It will encourage a sense of active, constructive participation, rather than apathetic helplessness. The total service should be trustworthy, enhance intellectual development, expand knowledge, deepen oral aesthetic enjoyment, increase the pleasure of living in a pluralistic society, and result in a service to listeners which makes them more responsive, informed human beings, and intelligent, responsible citizens of their communities and the world. It would speak with many voices and many dialects. The editorial attitude would be that of inquiry, curiosity, concern for the quality of life, critical, problem-solving, and life-loving. The listener should come to rely upon it as a source of information of consequence, of having listened has made a difference in his attitude toward his environment and himself. National Public Radio will not regard its audience as a market or in terms of its disposable income, but as curious, complex individuals who are looking for some understanding, meaning, and joy in the human experience.
How does that sound to you now?
Well, it's still relevant today, I think, if I may say so. I think that there's a greater need now than ever for this type of media where people can come together and hear each other respectfully, where they can hear the news placed in a context that gives them meaning.
You know, there are just some words in that that just really pop out as just being surprising to be in any mission statement, of course. You know, words like joy and life-loving.
It wouldn't pass any corporate mission statement today.
So as you read it now and think about where we are today, mm-hmm. what are the things that strike you as that we still need to be thinking mm-hmm. about and what feels outdated?
Well, I think I really do believe that this mission has become real through producers like you and the hundreds, maybe thousands now of producers, news people, reporters all over the world now. I think we're doing it. This was criticized sometimes for being too lofty, and it is aspirational, but I think it's been realized, so I don't think it was all fuzzy thinking. And it wasn't fuzzy because it was born out of my own primary experience, working in Buffalo in the black community, working with the folks at the Tuscarora Indian Reservation, working with students, working with young composers at SUNY Buffalo and writers. All those experiences informed what went into this. It wasn't an abstraction for me. It was real.
Certainly some of the challenges that you talk about here are also still challenges, mm-hmm. representing different communities of, mm-hmm. Class and race.
Right.
Those are still things, of course, that public radio really struggles with, mm-hmm. or all media struggles with.
Right.
Talk a little bit about crafting mm. the goals, the mission, mm-hmm. the ideals, and then seeing what has actually happened.
I'm thinking the early years, there were more produced pieces. I had thought of the second half hour as the place to have up to 20-minute documentary or something in there. Occasionally that happened, or maybe they're 10-minute documentaries. But now, with the pressure of the information to get out, those have kind of dropped by the wayside. I do regret that the context of the programs are so intense now. But the world is in a different place. It's a more complex world than we're living in now. And there's less opportunity for this leaning back and hearing, children playing or whatever. I still believe this, that by including those elements in there, it helps each set off the other. That is, you talk about the Middle East for 10 minutes and you need a break. You need to rest your mind. You need to go someplace else because you can't take it anymore, And that's where I think some of these other elements that I describe in here could improve the program, perhaps. But I understand the dynamics of producing a news program. It's hard to insert something where you're barreling ahead, Now we want to go down the side row, or we want to go bushwhacking even and see where we go.
It's always been one of my favorite things, both as a listener and as a producer, about All Things Considered. As a producer, I love the fact that people might listen to my stories that didn't plan on it, didn't even want to. Maybe even after they're done, they still
exactly.
don't want to. But all that stuff is slamming up against each other. And, now we're in a world where, things are on demand and you're going out there and choosing the things you want. And I always think about how nice it is to get the things that you didn't know you wanted.
Right. Exactly. The surprise.
Is there anything feeling old and dead to you about the public radio system at this point?
Well, I think there's always a need to renew. There's always a need to refresh. And I'm so heartened by the next generation coming along, even after yours. I mean, there's several generations behind me here. And their love for the medium. I think there's a culture of public radio now among producers, and an understanding of norms and ethics and so on that I think hold people together.
Yeah, I would say I've gone through a couple of what at the time people called golden ages of radio. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's a golden age. I mean, there is so much excitement and energy and experimenting and curiosity and just mm-hmm. and a love for
yes.
audio happening
yes.
right now.
Yes.
And that's really, really exciting.
Yeah.
It just makes you love being in this.
Yes. Yes.
Now, in terms of this new space not being actually public radio, public media, not having any sort of umbrella mission that, that is a sort of guiding mm-hmm. principles. What are your thoughts about that in terms of, when things still have a aesthetic or a brand mm-hmm. or a kind of a connection to public radio, mm-hmm. but they're not no longer public radio? Where does that mm-hmm. lead us?
In many ways, I see expansion of what I've read in the mission statement through podcasting. Obviously, there are hundreds of podcasts, so one can't really get a sense of everything. But I think there are values. There are understood cultural norms, as I say, that I think are prevailing. A lot of them are life-loving, celebratory, some wonderful investigative reporting going on. So it's really expanded the limits of a program like All Things Considered or Morning Edition.
It's interesting because, you know, you can think about whether it's nonprofit or market-driven. You can think about the delivery mechanism, whether it's broadcast or podcast. You know, you can think about all these different things, but what you just said is it's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that's sort of the underlying core.
Mm-hmm. The editorial attitude would be that of inquiry, curiosity, concern for the quality of life, critical, problem-solving, and life-loving. I think that would apply to all the podcasts, or it would fit within that, I think.
Yeah, you know, that we think about broadcasting as an antiquated version of all of this. I know you've talked about, you know, the origin of the word.
Yes.
And this idea of the agricultural term.
Scattering seeds, right. I mean, the origins of broadcasting in America were at the University of Wisconsin in Madison in 1917. And it corresponded with the mission of the university to extend the resources throughout the state to every home, one of the university presidents had said in 1904. And of course, in that time, the state was agricultural and much of the country was. So as they were thinking of a term for what is this new thing, they used the term broadcast, which is as scattering seeds, a farmer walking through the fields and literally scattering the seeds. And it's my favorite image because we're all broadcasters. We scatter seeds of ideas, hearing different voices, stimulating thought, reflection, and we don't know what will grow up from those seeds that are planted.
For me, one of my favorite things about being in public radio for a long time has been just I like feeling part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about like how things are changing, that's, I guess that's the part that makes me a little uneasy is, well, that sort of like mission-driven, we're in this together mm-hmm. for a greater purpose. Was that going to stick around? You know, why are we doing this work?
Right.
It's not just for me.
Right.
And I find comfort in that, and I find kind of fuel in that.
It's not for me. It's for the listener. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. As the non-commercial part is disappearing, as the public radio, the idea is disappearing, as maybe the mission is disappearing, you know, maybe not disappearing, but at least it's more self-defined. How much of that will stick around?
I don't know.
Can't you see in the future? do you worry about it, or do you not worry about it? It seems like you're a pretty optimistic guy.
I have a lot of faith in the community. There's a critical mass, I would say. I'd be confident in the critical mass of producers now who are imbued with a sense of purpose. They want to have impact. They want to have people feel something when they listen to the piece. In some cases, maybe take action. So I think as long as we focus on the listener, the end user, as they say, and try to present things with clarity and context and skill, art, we'll be fine.
Let me get back to the mission statement. How long was it the official mission statement before they replaced it with something more?
I don't know. There is a corporate one, of course.
There is a corporate one,
which
now
is modern and all. But I've been told that they still give this one to new employees to say this is kind of what we aspired to. Somehow it's having some kind of revived interest or something. I guess people find some resonance in it and some relevance. The issues I'm talking about are not dead. It's still alive. And it is aspirational, I think. It was intentionally aspirational. But I hasten to add, it's been manifested. It's been made real. It's not just wishful thinking.
It happened.
That's extraordinary in a way, you know?
You write something down on paper and it comes out the speaker.
Right.
Just like radio.
Bill Siemering, author of NPR's original mission statement and Public Radio Oracle. At the age of 80, Bill is still helping to create radio stations and programs around the world. You can read the entire interview with Bill on transom.org. Thanks to Jay Allison, Sydney Lewis, and Samantha Brown at Transom. If you don't know about Transom, get there as soon as you can. It's like a masterclass in radio storytelling. Transom.org. Also, thanks to our friends at This American Life for the use of their studio. The Radio Diaries podcast is produced by Sarah Kate Kramer with help from Nellie Gillis. Thanks to our editors Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. Radio Diaries is part of Radiotopia, a podcast collective from PRX. I'm Joe Richmond of Radio Diaries. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.